one that I ever heard. He rolled back the water of the mighty Red Sea, and he said, "Oh, go with you, put your trust in me.
Every praise. It's on page 192.
Amen. Amen. I just want to praise God for being back. You know, I'm going to come back Wednesday night, but I had a little rough road, you know, with my COVID, and had Sister Dawn and Sister Joy. We were all praying for each other, you know, to get over this, and I did. And I want to praise God for my legs and feet, too. I'm walking better. I said I couldn't wear my sandals this summer, but I have my sandals on today, you know, because my ankles are better. Amen. And I just praise God for this side. But most of all, I praise God for knowing what I know, knowing who I am, Amen. Knowing Him, and knowing what I have to do, and getting the word here. I just praise God for... Yes. Being blessed to be here and to know what I know. And I just thank God for that.
Amen. I might as well share a little something that earlier today, Sandra told me she felt like she was going to go up for the altar call because she was feeling conviction. Not to be confused with an urge to repentance, but, you know, just the devil getting on your case.
Right.
And then she heard the same words I've heard pastors say over and over again, sin cannot be imputed to your soul. And that was... you know, from struggle to revelation. So much of what the devil does with us is no more complicated than a Chinese finger trap. As long as we're pulling at it and playing with it, right. We're stuck. Amen. Quit fighting it. You know, just say, hey, the word says, boom, you're out and you're free.
Amen. That's true. Amen. That's it. Very, very Amen. True.
Every praise.
Can I say something real quick? I just am grateful to be home. I've been Amen. Gone too long. I'm thankful to be here, thankful for what we have. The revelation and the things we can stand on. You know, Brother Moore preached the believer's faith, and that's because we have promises that we can hold to. Yes. And I just want to give God some praise because, you know, I have had issues last year, and that's all behind me. And we went out west, and we climbed a mountain 2.5 miles high. No oxygen.
Thank you, Lord.
Broken body, no more. No, I didn't ace it like I should. Coming down was a lot easier, but I made it, and I'm thankful. And then my sister Darsha had 2 strokes, and she was staggering. She wasn't talking clear. She was blinded, and we prayed. And, you know, the The vision's back. She's walking clear, talking clear. She's a little tired, but you know what? God answers prayers. Amen. And that's because we claim it by his word. And I just thank God what we get here. I listen to the services, and I'm so grateful for this ministry. And I was also listening to Brother Ben coming home from Tennessee yesterday. And it touched me because of Brother Moore's vision, how he said, you know, I've been wanting to come here for quite a while. And I thought, look at God, because he starts stirring these people.
Yes,
and because of what God said, which was our ministry for our home here, that he wants water flowing in and out. And I thought, look what God has done, just constant.
Look what he's done.
The house was full Wednesday.
Yes.
And I just thank God because, you know, God's word doesn't go out void. And I'm just grateful all your beautiful faces. And I love this family of God.
Amen.
I don't know if I can sing that. You want to help me? I tried to play it. I've never played it for many, many years. How I love this family of God.
Amen.
Try to see. How I love this family of God. Oh, so united into one. Well, they have taken me into their heart, and I'm so glad to be a part of this great family of God. Oh, how I love this family of God. Oh, so united into one. Oh, they have taken me into their heart, and I'm so glad to be a part of this great family of God. I'm also thankful for Brother Covey Jr. because he said if he wanted to be something, he'd be a finger to point everybody here.
Amen.
You know, and I said, it's like the ministry.
Amen.
I look what God's doing, and my heart rejoices. Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Hi, family.
Hello.
Hey.
I am.
Amen. Get in here. Amen, amen. He's worthy.
Yes, he is worthy. And that's why I'm here. That's why he put it on my heart to move back to this area.
Amen.
I had no plans of coming back here. I know we probably talked, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago of what I was going to do, and just rest. That's what he always says, just rest. And I did, and it was no question of where I wanted to be. I wanted to be in the house of the Lord and put him first in my life. And nobody's perfect, and I am not perfect, but this revelation is real.
Amen.
I know it's something that I could depend on. I know the devil tries to knock me down, even trying to move back here, but he didn't stop a thing.
No.
I don't have any furniture, but I'm in my house, and I am so glad to be back in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And I told the pastor, I said, when he's going to start the Sunday night sessions, I said, he's starting that when I'm coming home. It ain't going to start without me. So I'm looking forward to being here,
Lord,
and being present.
Amen.
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 Hey, man. It's definitely glad to see Sister Mel here. You know, I know exactly where she was living at, because the funny thing is my stepdad lived in the same area, and I didn't know for all these years. And, you know, for her to move to D.C. here, that's a big change. It is. It is. So it's not like it's just an easy thing to do. I mean, D.C. and Ohio, there's no comparison. It's just not. I mean, if anybody doesn't know, there's no comparison. It's not at all. I mean, why we come here is because of his word. That's why we're here. It's not because we love Fairburn, Ohio. It's because the word's here. That's why we're here. So, you know, I was just thinking, the brother that preached Wednesday, he did a beautiful job. I mean, he did. I mean, you know, Pastor Moore's vision of bringing water in and water out, it's been a blessing, because we can hear other preachers and, you know, see where they're at, and it's definitely a blessing. And I love how Pastor Moore doesn't get nervous when he let the preachers get up. You know, that's a powerful thing. He's not worried or anything like that because he can see, he knows. He'll miss a beat. I mean, if you're off, he knows it. He don't miss anything. It's just I'm just amazed. I really am. And I just thank God. You know, sin is, you know, we've been taught here, sin is unbelief. You know?
That's right.
And I for so many years and get pounded by the devil saying you ain't good enough, you ain't this and that. You know what? Satan, you're a liar.
You are.
I love this word. And that's the most important thing. This word is the most important thing. If you love this word, you are right. My book. You know, and that's the thing that we all should don't take for granted. We love this word. I mean, it's just amazing that we can come here week in and week out. When we're going through trials and tribulations, we still can put God first. And it's just it's a blessing. It really is. And, you know, I just thank God. I don't want to take it lightly. There's times that I take it lightly, but I don't want to do that. This place means everything to me. It does. I wouldn't be nothing without this word. Amen. I wouldn't. So I love you guys. I don't have to say it enough. I love you guys. You guys are very special to me. I couldn't do this walk without you guys. I couldn't. And you guys give me ammunition to keep coming back and forth to see you guys could put God first. And if you guys can do it, then I can do it. So I love you guys.
You know, I'm thankful for the love for the truth.
Amen.
I'll be quick.
Okay.
I didn't see you over there. But, you know, the Word of God, I was thinking, you know, we emphasize on everything, this church world and message, everything else, you know, emphasize on everything else. But if there's one thing that should be emphasized on, it's your love for the truth.
Amen.
You know, even in your own life, you know, I mean, that's the devil's answer. To everything he brings.
Amen.
But I have a love for the truth.
Amen.
You know, that I can't help, that I didn't muster up, that I didn't work up, that I'm not, you know, trying to live up to. I just simply have a love for the truth.
Amen.
You know, and to me, that's every answer I give back to the devil. Because
yes,
I'm, you know, flesh as much as anybody else, maybe more than everybody else, because I see me. I don't see all yours, but I see all of mine.
Amen.
And, you know, so you know, the devil, he's good at what he does, but I'm better at what I do.
Amen.
I have a love for the truth. And the truth is what it sets you free.
That's it.
Totally free from all condemnation, for all fear.
Yeah.
And it just gets simpler and simpler and simpler.
Amen.
You know, you sit there and fuss all, you know, and there's things that you fuss with. There's things that you wrestle with and argue with and try to overcome. You know, there's also a scripture says, work out your own salvation.
With
fear and trembling. You know, so don't tell me there's not a battle of the mind. There's a battle of the mind. But there's a love for the truth that's greater than all.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Right.
Good stuff.
Yes, Lord. He's worthy.
Amen.
I love this body.
Amen.
I love this word.
Amen.
It means everything to me.
Amen.
It's my whole life. It's my whole being. When I have a question, I know where to go. Go to my husband. Go to my pastor. Go to the body.
Amen.
You know, there's answers.
Oh, yeah.
There's a love there.
Amen.
That is unconditional.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a love there that you can't experience out here.
No.
You can only experience it here within the body.
Amen.
Because we have that real, that true love.
Amen.
That really, really means something. And we know how much we're loved by each and every one.
Yeah.
It's not real out there. Mm-hmm. It's so real in here.
Yeah.
I want to give God praise for touching me. Because I was really, really sick. I was in the hospital last weekend.
Mm.
And blood pressure sky high. Heart rate sky high. Dizziness, couldn't do nothing. Thank you, Brother Moore, for stopping in and just talking to me, you know, just being a friend, just sitting down and talking to me. It helped me beyond. And it's true, because
very stubborn. Very stubborn when it comes to going to hospitals. You know, when you're in the healthcare business, you see too much. And you know, and for me anyway, it's like, I'm never going there. I had my feet dug in. I was never going to, never, ever go to a hospital. Never. Go stay out of the hospital. Never go to one. You get sick enough, you'll go.
Oh, yeah.
So I met wonderful people, but I also, you meet both sides.
That's right.
So I encountered both sides. But I know that, you know, I had to meet these people. They were wonderful. But I didn't want to have to go to the hospital to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, we always think maybe we can meet them some other way.
Yeah.
But no. But, you know, it's okay. It's all right. Whatever God has me to do,
yes,
that's what I'll do.
Amen.
And I'm not digging my feet in anymore. I'm going to just do it.
Amen.
If it's having to go to a hospital, I'll go to a hospital. If it's having to take blood, I'll take blood because you said it's his. So whatever I have to do, I'll do. You know, I just want to surrender. I just want to fall back.
That's right.
With that's everything. Right. I don't want to hold on to anything. I want to let it all go,
no matter
what it is.
Might as well.
Because he's got all of that, and I'm so grateful and so thankful for his touch, for him touching me. I've got some tests that I have to go through, but I know God's going to take care of whatever that is.
That's right.
So I just wanted to get up, and I just wanted to give God praise.
Amen.
You know, for what he's done for me, the way that he's touched me, and I, you know, I have faith to believe, and I believe you all will believe with me that all things will be okay.
Amen.
And I'm sure thankful to have a pastor like you.
Amen. Amen.
We had Brother Moore and Sister Moore over. We had God over.
Amen.
Friday night, and it was a wonderful fellowship. And one of the things that we got around talking about was my inability to remember. I mean, God put a song on my heart, and then service would come around, and I'd forget. Well, I wrote it down this time. I wrote it down. But I was like, what am I gonna do this Sunday? And then Sister Moore said something, like God said something. Said, you know, we don't do the old hymns. So, you know, the young people don't know the old hymns. They know the more current and contemporary stuff. And so she also said, or God said, Amazing Grace. And I started thinking about it, we're gonna do Amazing Grace. So Amazing Grace it is.
Amen.
Well, I can't be this close to a microphone and not sing. I thank God for this message, for this word. Let me confess, I'm healed. Because you know what? We overcome by the word of our confession. And therefore, I made a testimony. I said the Lord had told me. He said, I don't anoint your feelings. He said, by the confession of your faith. Melanie confessed that she would be here, and lo and behold, there it is. Pastor Moore confessed that water in and out, lo and behold, it's the spoken word, we're speaking it into existence. So I confess the healing that I have. Why? Because God's word is true. He brought me this far only by his spoken word, and he did it all. I didn't do any of this. And so he brought me this far. You know that song said, he didn't bring me this far to leave me. He don't start stuff he don't finish. He didn't get crucified for nothing. He didn't send a prophet for nothing. Oh, that happened. That happened. And here we are, God in flesh. So by the word of my confession, I will overcome. And I confess I am the word of God. Now what are we going to play? What key are we in?
That works.
every praise.
I just wanted to testify real quick, and I'm just so happy to be here right now. You know, I was thinking about, like, a lot of the other churches, they have, you know, they have these programs they give you, you know, and they have it all figured out, how God's going to talk to the people. But, you know, what I see in here is a bunch of programs that is a mystery. And it's a mystery until you get here. And when you get here, you testify, and it lines up exactly with God's program.
That's right.
And it's so special because we all have something. We all have a walk, and we all go through what we got to go through in the week, you know. And to hear it preached since the time I first came here, Brother Moore saying, you know, you gotta, how do I want to say it? There's really no right or wrong way to say it. You know, there's no mistakes in here, because he looks at the desire.
Right.
And when you come in here, it's like the desire is the only thing that you see. That's why there's no mistakes, you know.
Amen.
And it's like a baby, you know, like when he's trying to walk, you know, and you're not going to like fault him or get mad at him or anything like that because he teeter totters or doesn't get it right, you know. And I just love that because it's really your heart when you get up here and you testify or you sing a song, you're giving it from your awe, from your heart, you know.
Amen.
And I'm so grateful that he looks at that because, yeah, I can mess a lot of things up. And I'm glad that this is a house of correction because, see, you know, if I say something wrong, Pastor will get me. Brother will get me. You know, it'll be corrected. And I love that. The rest of the world, they don't like correction, but I want that. Because, see, you got to have a balance to live in this life, especially in this hour right now, because it's just so crazy out there. This is my arc. And like Brother Moore said before, you know, there's an arc. God made an arc in every age for his people. And this place, I'm strapped in. I can't live bad enough to miss it. I can't live good enough to miss it. You know, it's not by my works. Anything, the best I got to give is filthy rags anyway. But the thing I do love, like Brother Deskin said, is a love for the truth, man. I can't get away from that. It's just in me, you know? And you can't force something that's already in you. It just comes out naturally. And I just love this place, and I'm glad to see everybody here. And, you know, this is my home. When God told me this is my home, that's it. I'm not going anywhere. This is my sanctuary. I love everybody here. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Every praise. Key of G. By way of announcements, we got the Bible study tonight at 7. And then July 22nd, we'll have the get-together at our house. I believe that's at 6:30. I think 6:30, yeah. Pretty sure it was 6:30, but I'll post the address back there on the board. So,
amen.
6:30. Every praise.
Amen. All right. All right. Every praise.
Hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah. Father, we come before you this morning, bringing you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor, knowing that without you we can do nothing, whether it's in healing, whether it's in salvation, whether it's in our walk, whether it's in our even submission, Lord, it's all due to you and what you've done for us. And Lord, we're gathered here this morning as believers, knowing that your word is true. Pray that, Lord Jesus, you'll move every hindrance out of the way and let your word flow freely through this place today. We bind every spirit in the name of Jesus Christ and ask you to loose your spirit amongst us that you can speak to our hearts today. Ask you to be with Jeremiah and the people that are down in little Bethlehem. Ask you to bless the services there. Ask you to have your way this morning with us and this evening, Father. Ask you to just come amongst us and dwell amongst your people. Lord, I've opened up the word this morning before the people. I pray that you open up our hearts that we can receive that you've given. Those that need a touch, Sister Judy, Lord, Sister Donna, different ones, Trevor, Lord, different ones that just land before you and need a touch from you, ask you to move on those behalf. And those that are standing and sitting amongst us here today that may need a touch from you, ask you to move on those behalfs. Touch those that are sick and dealing with the COVID and the different situations that they're dealing with in their lives, and help us to push all of that aside now for a few minutes that you can come and speak to our hearts. Thank you for everything you've done and all that you're about to do. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. good to have you here. Pray for Jeremiah. He's gone down to minister at Little Bethlehem today. He and I think Jay went with him. So God bless that service. I think they started a little later than us, but they should be about ready to start if they haven't. So God bless them. It's good to have you here. It's good to have Melanie home. You know, and if you ask Melanie, I don't even know if she knows, but the whole time she was trying to make up her mind what she was doing, I gave her no advice. I don't even know if she noticed. I never did, because I thought, you know, it's got to be on her. It's not about me pressuring her, because people think I pressure her to get here. I never gave her one advice on where she had to move. And that is the honest to God truth. I didn't do it because I knew that if God didn't bring her here, whatever it takes to get you here is what it takes to keep you here. So if I had pressured her to do any of this, then it would be on me to keep her. I ain't keeping nobody. It's too much work. I guess I'm getting lazy in my older age. I don't like a bunch of work. But I never, the whole time that she was talking about moving, I never offered her any advice, because I thought, God, you direct her where you want her. Because she could have moved anywhere in the world. And anywhere in the country. And people think that I've influenced her, but I really haven't. I don't even argue the point when I hear people say, well, Nate's the reason she's not. I'm like, I don't even argue the point, because I know I didn't. And I know she's here because she wants to be here. And the same one that brought her here is the same one that'll keep her here. The same one that brought you here is the same one that'll keep you here. So we're all in the same boat. I didn't even pressure Clarice to come here. If she thought she wanted to go, I wouldn't stand in her way, because it's a personal relationship between you and God. It's not a family thing. It's not somebody's friend or friendship. It's not about that at all. Even though I like friends and I love family, I love my family. But when it comes to serving God, that is between you and God. How you serve God is between you and God, and nobody has to pressure anybody to serve God. You don't have to be pressured to serve God. You serve God because you want to. You serve God because you don't have any other choice. When He moves in, you will serve God. I mean, it's not even an option. That's why people think that, you know, you got to make them do this or make them do that. I don't have to make you do nothing. Do what's in your heart. You know, if it's in your heart to be Dillinger, be Dillinger. You know His end. You want to be Bonnie and Clyde, be Bonnie and Clyde. As they're in. But if you want to serve God, then serve Him. If God be God, serve Him. And sometimes we get confused and we think God's pushing us through this. God ain't making you do nothing. You're doing it because it's in you to do it. God's just supplying you everything you need to support you in your decision. He's the biggest supporter we have. You know, every hole you get into, God makes a way out. Every trial, every trouble, every problem, every shortcoming you go into, God always makes a way out for His believers. You know, all things work together for good. See, it doesn't have to be good if you have to go to the hospital, but it works together for good because you love God and you are the called. So it doesn't matter whether it's a hospital, whether it's going to a funeral home, whether it's going to a job, whether it's going to your neighbor. It all works together for your good. You can't lose when you got God on your side. And if you got to go through something, go through it. Don't whine about it. Just, you know, Jesus, He was like, Lord, take this cup from me. He didn't want to do it. But He didn't spend all of His time in His garden talking about, Lord, I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to do it. I don't want to do this. I don't want. He said, Lord, I don't really want to do this. But Lord, if I have to, I have to. Not my will, but Thine. And that's where the believers are getting to in our walk, is that we're looking at God saying, Lord, it's not about me. It's about what your will is for me and where you need me to go and what you need me to do. So we love that about God, because he is going to make sure that we do what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
He's going to make sure everything's out of the way, because you love God. And he wants you to manifest. You know, God wants a manifestation.
Amen.
He don't want you to sit and looking like you're down and out.
No.
He don't want you to look like you got the worst medicine in the world. God, I got a sentence. I got to serve God. No, it's a privilege to serve God. It's a privilege to be a child of God. It's a privilege to have a desire to want to serve him. Oh, I may not get to where I want to altogether. I want to do a whole lot more than what I can do. But what I do because it's in my heart to do it. Not because I have to, because the church is expecting of me. No, I don't care what y'all expect. You know, it's not about me living my life for the church. It's about me living my life for Jesus Christ. And if the church, and the church will benefit from it, because, you know, anytime God's in there, everybody benefits.
That's right.
You can't have water and nobody benefits. You can't. I don't care. You can fly over this country, and when you see deserts, all you got to do is find a place where there's a river running through, and the thing around that water lives. It's green. Everything else might be dead, but that river water is going to make everything around it live. When God moves inside of you, everything around you benefits from it. And it's because you are God. And you can't help it. You can't help it. You don't have to make him manifest. You don't have to make your life better. Your life automatically becomes better.
Amen.
You say, oh, well, then I'm going to get everything I want. I didn't say you're going to get everything you want. I said your life would automatically become better because Jesus Christ is in your life.
Amen.
When he's there, I don't care how bad it is, it's still better.
Amen.
When you're going through trouble, I don't care how much trouble you got, it's still better. Anything's better with Christ. When you got to lose a loved one, it's still better having Christ in your life when you go through that. Because we are not like the rest of the world that have no hope. We have hope. We have answers. We know how the story ends. So we're not all bogged down with the details. We know it. When it's said and done, I'm going to win. Say, well, you're going to go through this. I'm still going to win. Well, you got these problems. I'm still going to win.
Yes.
No matter what comes or goes my ways, I'm still going to win.
Yes.
And the thing is, I'm letting God manifest himself out through me.
Yes.
And it's not that I'm going to force him to do it. He wants to do it. People get confused in this message, and they think, and I'm talking about even in this church, they think, oh, I get saved, and that's the end of the story. Well, that's just the beginning of the story. There's a life that God wants to live out through you.
Amen.
He didn't save you just because he was a good God. He saved you because he wanted to use you.
Right.
He wants your life. He wants your walk. He wants your manifestation. And he will have it.
Amen.
People think they get God and they think that, well, that God's got it all. God's got it. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to live a life. I don't have to give nothing to him. I just go. That's not the way it works, folks.
Amen.
When you get born again, it's not that your life ends. Your life still goes on. You end. The life becomes Christ's life.
Amen.
The life that I now live is Christ that liveth in me.
Amen.
And he's living in you to manifest his word.
Yes.
That's why he's got you. That's what it's all about. That's why I needed you. And people think they come in here and they spend 2 or 3 weeks, they get a head knowledge of a new birth, and they walk out of here thinking, well, once saved, always saved. If I got the Holy Ghost, I can go live my life now. If you go out and live your life, you never gave your life up.
Amen.
Your life will change.
Amen.
Your life will be different.
Yes.
See, we talked about last week, we were talking about the faith with that works in the bride. Well, that was only half the story. I didn't get to this half. Today's this half.
Okay.
And the faith works in us. It works.
Right.
It doesn't just live in you.
Come on.
It works in you. God doesn't just live in you. He works in you. He has things. He changes your very nature. And when he changes your nature, if your nature changes, your life changes. The things that you used to love, you don't love no more. Oh, I didn't say your problems will go away. I said you don't love them. A real believer, when they have problems, they're kicking themselves before you get to kick us. Because they're the first one in line that don't want it. I always said, if God's going to ask me or ask if I should get rid of something, I will be the first one in line to say yes. Because I don't want these things. I don't want problems. I want to serve God. I am here to serve God. I am here to be a son of God. And the scriptures back that.
Amen.
So I want to read a little bit today to start with. And don't forget, tonight we're going to start at 7. They can come in a quarter till, put the music on. But musicians don't have to worry about getting on the piano. They don't have to worry about getting on the drums or nothing. Just come and have a seat. Relax a little bit. It's going to be a family night. You say, well, how's it going to work? I don't even know. I'm just going as he says go. And this, I'm giving you as much information I get. So I've had people that are not happy because they're not going to put it on the internet. Because they want to hear it. But, you know, I think this is going to be a family night. Time for us to just sit down, kick your shoes off. You know how it is when you're sitting around a dinner table? You're just sitting around talking about the day, what's went on and on. You know, sometimes you have Bible questions. Sometimes you just have situations you're going through. Sometimes you see the situations other people are going through, and you want answers. And if there's ever a group of people who can get answers, it's going to be us. Now, the answers we give you have got to be backed by the prophet.
That's right.
So I told Jay and Jeremiah, I said, bring your tablets with you so we want to look up a quote or something. I can quote Brother Branham, but I don't always know where it is. Sometimes it's good to hear what Brother Branham said about certain things. And so we'll talk about those things. And then there's some things that Brother Branham didn't say that I got to talk about. You know, he didn't say nothing about COVID. I got to bring it up to where we're at.
Right.
But where we're at will tie back into where he was at. It'll dovetail. So it's going to be a good evening. And it starts at 7. So come.
Amen.
Bring your Bibles. Y'all have Bibles? Some of y'all come to church without them. I know it's because you were reading last night and you had a good spot and you didn't want to turn the page. I know that's why you left your Bible at home. But bring your Bibles. Bring whatever you feel to bring. I don't know. Just come. And I hope y'all own a Bible. I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand, please. I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. You say, well, I don't have to carry my Bible. Do you know that's the most important book you've got? I don't care about all these preachers, these doctors, divinities. You carry their books around. You read all that stuff. I don't have enough time to read the Bible. I mean, there's so much good in there. We've never put it down. We've never stopped reading it. We never stopped believing it. Same with the message. We never stopped putting the messages down. I still read them. I still look to them. We need these things. It helps us through this life. So bring them tonight. Come. And I left last Sunday. I was mentioning about the Bible study and looked out and everybody was grinning. And I thought, oh, Lord, they're a mess. Some people, now you don't have to make up questions. If you have some on your heart, it'll edify the body. And if you come here to try to educate us, it's going to bore us. I ain't here to see how much you know. I'm here to see how the body can help the body. That's what we're at that place now, people. You realize that? The body edifies itself in love. The body edifies the body. Now, that's a mature group. That's a mature group. That's a group that can be given the keys to the factory and said, now you run it. I heard somebody say this morning, I don't get nervous when I get preachers in here. You know, I don't get nervous. I worry about what they say. Because if it lines with the word, you're going to eat it. If it doesn't line with the word, you're going to not eat it. I don't have to go and put my, you know, like with the babies, kids put marbles and everything else in their mouth. And there's many times I had to go, you know, the old scoop. You got to take two fingers and scoop it out of their mouth. You parents understand what I'm talking about. The old scoop move where the kid's getting ready to swallow something they're not supposed to. You got to go run them down and scoop it out of their mouth. I don't have to scoop y'all. Not we're not babies. You'll eat the word of God and nothing else. And so we're good. So I'm not nervous about preachers. I'm not nervous about Bible study. I'm not nervous about service. I'm just glad that God has given us opportunities to do these things together. So I got to get going here. I'm going to start over here reading at James chapter 2. And we were talking last Sunday about how faith works in the bride. But when faith comes out of you, it should do something. It should do something. It should produce something. I was mentioned about the young people who are they're crazy right now. And they've gotten out from under the word. And you are no match for this world. And you'd liable to believe anything when you get out there. You don't have no word to back you. Or you start listening to somebody out here that's got some weird ideas. And God help us. Thank God for a prophet. I'd rather listen to him. So I've got a lot of reading here, and I don't want to read all this because you've got your Bibles at home. You can read James chapter 2 when you get home. So I'm going to read verse 1, then I'm going to jump down. My brethren, have not faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. Now, I could go on and read down through 2 and 3 and 4. Now, but the point that was being made here is that if you got faith working in your life, it's going to cause your life to be different. Right. It's going to cause your outlook to be different. Yeah. It's going to cause a love there that you don't even understand. Right. And it's going to cause you to do things in your life. Now, a lot of people use faith in these works here and try to build a salvation on it and say, well, you've got to do this and you've got to do that, or you're not saved. No, that's not what he's saying. It's showing you here that you don't have respect to persons if faith is there, and that's because God's there. See, if God is in you, and if you're born again, there's going to be something inside of you that's going to judge things right.
Amen.
God never misjudges. Man does. God never just let somebody go because he doesn't care. God does care. I don't care how many people have left me and how many people have talked about me and how many people have disfellowshipped me. I still love them. Amen. To this day, we had a church full of people last Wednesday night. A lot of them that have left here. I was glad to see them. Amen. And it wasn't a hatred thing. See, when you've got hatred built in you, there's something wrong. Amen. You should have a love for humanity. Yes. You should have love for those that despitefully use you. Amen. I mean, I'm talking about somebody that's born again. Right. See, everybody ain't born again. Right. And everybody can't do that. No. And vengeance, oh, they'll take vengeance out on you in a minute. And they'll treat you bad. And he was just starting out here, and James is talking about, no, can't have respect to persons. And I won't read it all, but it says, you get somebody in here that's poor, that comes in here and homeless and don't have no place to live and or bad, or you put them in the back, and somebody's rich and got money and living pretty good, you bring them up front. See, you can't have that respect to person. That's why we don't have specific assigned seating in here. Because I want you to move around. I want you to sit somewhere else. I want you to sit by somebody that you don't sit by. I want the love of God to be able to move from breast to breast. I want God to be able to run through this place and everybody look at everybody the same way. That's God. That's God. When you got your special people and you got the only certain ones can sing and only certain ones. That's why I love the fact that Brother Reggie called it the voices of the bride. Because it wasn't about the good singers. It wasn't about the people who had the gifts and talents. It's about the bride of Jesus Christ making a joyful noise unto the Lord. And anybody should be able to do that. And you don't have to come and practice and wear yourself out and try to make yourself sound like something that nobody wants to hold. Or holding notes that nobody wants to hear and try to make yourself look like something that nobody wants to see. I want to see God move through this place. I want anybody to be able to testify. I want everybody to be able to get up and sing. I don't care if you can't even carry a note in a bag. The best songs I've heard were people who couldn't sing. God's not a respecter of person. When the love of God moves in you, you're not worried about how good it sounds. You're not worried about how much money somebody has. The people with the big bucks sit up front. The poor people sit in the back. We had that at another church. Well, we sat in the poor section. But you don't have that in the house of God. When God moves in, there should be a love inside of you that starts manifesting itself throughout the whole body. I don't care who it is. A lot of people, they'll say, well, you know, you don't do this for me or you don't do that for me. It's not even about that. It's about what God wants done. Amen. It's about where God wants you. It's like what God wants you to do. I don't sit here and schedule myself out and say, well, I'm going to go here. I'm going to go, oh, this one gives a lot of tithes. I better go visit that one. Or no, you know what? I go as God moves. Amen. We were driving down 35, and I told Clarice, we was a block from Steve's house. I said, oh, I forgot we were coming this way. We should stop by and see Judy. I have needs to go by there. I called Steve up. He said, well, we just got finished eating lunch. We're sitting here. We just said, well, we'll be there. Usually we're a half an hour from him. And I said, I'm about 5 minutes away. I forget about the protocol where you have to give. I didn't even know it was not polite to just drop in on people. I drop in on people all the time. When I moved in my house on Main and I was trying to get them to come to visit me, that's when I found out that it was impolite to just drop in. I didn't know. I just thought if I want to come over, I just come over. I figured you catch you like you catch you. If your house is dirty, it's dirty. If your house is clean, it's clean. If you, you know, I know I'm not right. I should give you notice. But I don't do that. I figure your family. I don't call my family and make an appointment. I just go over their house. Melanie's in trouble. She's close enough now. I can just go over her house. I guess I should probably call, but I don't know. I'm not a M. But anyway, let me drop on down here. Drop down to verse 14. And here's where it gets to the question. And here's where it gets sticky. What did it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith? Remember last week we were talking about faith. And have not works. See, some people think they get saved and that's the end of the work, because we're not saved by works. No, you're not saved by works, but works will follow. Every believer. Every believer will have good works. Amen. You say, well, I don't have to have good works. Hallelujah. I had the Holy Ghost and it's without nothing I can do for myself. No, it ain't nothing you can do for yourself, but it's what you can do for him. Amen. What you do for others. Amen. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, you give them not those things which they are need of the body, what does it profit? What does it profit to you to claim to be a part of a church, and all you do is claim to be a part of a church? Your life's not changed. You ain't helping nobody. You don't love nobody. You're in your own little world. Close yourself up from everybody.
Come on now. Come on now. You're right.
He said, oh, wait a minute, Brother Moore. Now, you know, we've been talking about grace and, you know, grace, grace, grace. Yeah, but I'm trying to tell you, there's another side of that coin. Like Brother Children says, no matter how thin you slice it, there's two sides to every piece of baloney. Works are not going to show that you're saved. But if God is in there, the works are going to come out. It's just Him. It's His work because He has something for you to do. He wants you to take care of the poor. He wants you to be polite to people. He wants you to do the right thing. God doesn't want you to do the wrong thing. He wants you to do the right thing. Oh, we do the wrong thing, but that ain't God. That's you. That's me. I don't leave myself out. A lot of preachers leave themselves out like they're just talking to y'all sinners. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ain't nobody perfect but God. What does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Worthless. Your faith is worthless. You say you are a believer, and nobody can tell it. Something's wrong there, Brother Lockett.
Amen.
I should be able to see God in you.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Did somebody hit the mute button? I should be able to see God.
Amen.
He said, but this is Fairborn. Y'all don't talk like this. Yes, we do. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Works.
Uh-huh.
See, the key word is works.
Yeah.
People get works messed up.
That's right.
They think works is just doing good. But it's more to it than just doing good.
Right.
It's more to it than just giving this humble pie smile.
Right.
It's more to it than just being manly meek. A rebuke is sometimes it's what you need.
Amen.
A rebuke is works.
Amen.
You wouldn't think that. You think rebuke is not works, but it's being nice and kind and gentle. But the Bible says there should be something coming out of you that's evident that God's living in you. That's what James is saying. How are you going to see your brother need something you don't give it to him? How are you going to see your sister in need and not give it to you? Sometimes y'all run into hard times.
Yeah.
Get out of a job.
Yeah.
Get over your head in debt.
Yeah.
Get out in the corner. Can't get out. I come over there and hand you something, give you something, do something for you. He said, oh, I don't want to take that. I said, well, you've helped the body all these years. This is what the body does.
Yeah.
We are concerned about each other. We love each other. We don't want to see each other hurt. We don't want to see each other in need. Brother Children said one day it might come to a point where we might have to have a soup kitchen in the back. If we got to go to that, we'll do that. We will take care of the body. There are benefits in serving God. There's benefits in coming into church. When you're a part of a body, you have access to many things. God's a living God.
Amen.
He's a very knowledgeable God. He's a caring God.
Yes.
He wants to make sure your needs are taken care of. Not your wants, your needs.
Amen.
Oh, you might want a lot, but you need a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yea, if a man says, thou hast faith and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. And I ain't even touched salvation with works. I ain't even touched your salvation. All I'm saying, if God is living in you, there should be works coming out of you. And if you don't have works coming out of you, then God is not in you. Oh, we're going to get this balanced on before it's done. Oh, we're going to get this balanced. Oh, let them do it. Let them take care of the church. Let them give the tithes and offerings. Let them. Oh, did I say tithes and offerings?
Yes.
Oh my. It's all part of it. It's because the reason you pay your tithes and offering is because you're giving back to the church so the church can help somebody else. That's what it's about. You know why I work. I work so that the church can give back to somebody else. You're really supposed to be taking care of me. I don't fault preachers who have a full-time ministry. I just look at it like, I'm young, I'm healthy, we don't have a whole bunch of problems here I have to deal with. I can get out there and do work and still do this and still have the world give me money and the church can still do other things. Those are my works. And I ain't boasting them. I'm saying that's just what I do. That's what I feel it to do. And you need to do your part as well. I pay tithes just like you. I give offerings just like you. I hope you do.
Amen.
Without works, you ain't no good. Why y'all gonna get quiet on me today? Don't y'all go to sleep on me. He said, well, he'll get back to grace. He'll get back to grace next week. Oh, I'm going to be on grace today. I'm on grace right now. This is the grace of God. It's the grace of God that he tells us the truth. It's the grace of God that we have a balanced church. I ain't trying to save you by your works, but I'm saying if you are saved, works will follow. Thou believest that there is one God. You think you've done something. I believe in God. I believe in God. You ain't done nothing. The devil. The devil also believes and trembles. He's got more sense than you. He knows to be afraid of God. Some of y'all ain't afraid of God. Need to tremble a little bit. Need to consider yourselves. Think you're going to be out in the world and be in the church. You can't be in both places. You can't serve God and man. We try to hang on to our worldly friends. Let them go. They can't take you anywhere but hell. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Title of my message this morning, Faith Produces Works. Because sometimes we get unbalanced on it. And we stop working. And we get so lazy. And we say, well, if I'm predestinated, I'll be there. That's an easy thing to say. There's no works behind that. No production, nothing to produce behind that. And you say, well, you're putting works on us. Yes, I am. I'm saying works follow salvation. And I'm saying it's not something I got to force you to do. You're going to do good works because it's good in you. You're going to want to be an example. Oh, I kick myself when I'm not an example. Don's talking this morning. He said, oh, it just burns him up sometimes. He gets so mad at himself. But why is that? Why do you get mad at yourself? Because you want to do good.
Amen.
You want to do the right things. You're not doing this just trying to be shady. I could be shady out in the world. People look at you and say, well, you're not doing this and you're not doing that. Look at what I am doing.
Yeah.
You don't even know how to judge works. See, you got to know how to judge God's works. Brother Children said, don't put your filthy hands on me. If you don't know how to judge the works of God, don't even touch me. I got all kinds of works. But all you know about is what is your top 10 list of thou shalt and thou shalt not, your 10 commandments. But if you don't know how to judge the works of God, don't even bother touching me. But there will be works in every believer. And you've got to see it. Nobody knows how much God's changed you outside of you. Nobody knows how God's working in you outside of you. Oh, we see the results of it, but you know for yourself that it's God. You know how you used to think. You know how you used to act. You know where you used to go. You know how you hung out. You know what you used to do. But you stopped doing that. What stopped you? It wasn't me, because I don't tell you to stop nothing. Anything you can stop, you can start. But if God is in there, God tell you to stop, you will stop. That's why it's not hard to serve God. So it's not hard to be a Christian. It's not hard to be a believer. It's just in you to do so. It's not hard to have good works. It's just in you to do so. Amen. Amen. He's got you. And he will produce the works. He will bring out of you everything that he wants to see. And you can't stop him. People's problem is not that they can't do good works, but God's not in them to produce them. This part-time Christianship ain't working with God. Faith without works is dead. You can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. You say, man, can't we get back to grace? I am still talking about grace. I'm just trying to let some of y'all get your thinking straight, because some of you think you don't have to live nothing. And you don't have to live nothing. See, only the believer can walk this way. This way, those high heel shoes are not going to be able to walk this. Can't walk this. Brother Brown said that woman that was trying to walk in those high heel shoes, he said, you can't walk that. She said, I'll show you. She got up there and woo. See, unless you're a real believer, you're not even going to understand what I'm saying. You're going to say one hand, you say don't work. Next work. Next hand, you say work. One minute you say it's God, next minute you say it's you. Only a believer can understand Romans 7. You show me your faith. Because people say, well, I got faith. I got faith. Ain't doing nothing for God. Ain't doing nothing for God. Like I said, all these young people got all this attitude and doing this internet stuff. And I hear about it. I don't know. I don't follow y'all. I don't have one friend on my Facebook. Not that y'all didn't try. I get requests all the time. I don't answer. Now, Melanie, I'm not even Melanie's friend. Family got on me. I know you on Facebook, and you didn't friend me. I said, I didn't friend nobody. I don't have no friends. But they're on Facebook doing all this talking, from what I've heard. Doing all this talking and chatter. Ain't living nothing. Ain't believing nothing. Ain't going nowhere. Sitting at home. Got the biggest testimony of lies, and they ain't even going. No God about it. Amen. Bunch of faith talking and no works to follow it. Y'all don't want to read the Facebook. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. The biggest talkers are the ones that are sitting at home. I don't know. Like I said, I don't have Facebook. I don't know, but I know.
And every once in a while, periodically, they'll waltz in here and act like they never left. Right. And come in here and try to do all this stuff like they belong here because they got faith. And it ain't worked a thing. I haven't seen a lick of God in them. That first place they need is to the altar. You say, now you're going to bring the altar in? Altar's good. We forgot about repentance, Brother Lockett. Repenting means turn around. Get up here first. Before you come in here playing instruments and get on everything and act like you've been here forever. Get up here and repent. It don't thrill me with your faith. And no works. Oh, you say, oh, I didn't know you see. Oh, I'll let you do it. And the whole time I'm praying for you. Saying, God, let that faith drop down into some real works. To some real something that God can use. Something that God can manifest through. See, God wants to manifest. That's what works are, is God manifesting in the flesh.
Amen.
It's not the works like the church world's trying to get you to do, trying to clean this up, clean that up, do this, do that. God ain't trying to clean you up. God will clean you up because he's going to do it from the inside out. He'll do all the works. Show me your faith. Tell me how much you believe this message. Tell me how much you believe there is a God. Tell me how much you believe in God. And there's no life about you, no works about you. You don't even go to church. Amen. And all you do is criticize those who do. We're in here trying to get better.
Amen.
Don't criticize me for trying to serve God. I may not be serving you the way you want me to. But I ain't trying to serve you.
Amen.
That's like the one time they asked me at work. We had to have our picnic. And my director said, before we eat, I'm going to ask Nate to pray over our food. I'm like, here we go. And that's probably 50 people or so there. So I prayed. And when I finished, I said amen, standing there. And one of our maintenance guys is all the way across in front, and in front of all these 50 people, he said, that was a good prayer. He said, but next time, just say it a little louder. And he said this in front of 50 people. I looked at him and said, I wasn't talking to you. And everybody laughed because, right, it ain't about a show. People want to put on shows. I'm not showing. I can whisper God to hear me. I don't have to open my mouth, God to hear me. But some people want to put on a show. They want to show how much God they have. It is not about showing how much God you have. God is in humility. God is humble. God is meek. He wants to be in the back and let you see him move in amongst the people. People want to get in there, and they said about the people coming into church and taking the front row. No offense, Don. They said, you go into a place and take a front row. He said, you ought to start in the back and go in there and let them invite you up instead of getting in front and tell them to go sit back.
Amen.
But people want to show you they got a bunch of faith and don't even know what faith is. Faith is a revelation. Faith is an understanding. Faith is God moved in you and living out through you. You know you've changed. Don't nobody have to back you up. Don't nobody have to convince you. You know you changed. You know you're different. When the Word of God got inside of you, it started changing things around. It started making you do things that you didn't want to do. It stopped you from doing things that you did do. There's a whole lot of stuff I don't do that I used to do now. You're all picking on the things that I do. You should see what I used to do. And others can see it.
Yeah.
You don't even have to blow your own horn.
No.
You don't have to be the loudest in the church.
Yeah.
You don't have to make a big stand. No. I don't have to say amen so loud that everybody hears me. I ain't talking to you. I'm talking to God. Amen. People don't even know what amens are for. The amens ain't for the preacher to hear you. No, you're saying amen to the word, and that's between you and God. Amen. So if your amen's louder than everybody in the church, I start. You're trying to work. You're working too hard. It's not a show. This church is not a show. I don't need to know you're here. I don't need to hear you. I don't need to see you. That's between you and God. You're having to worship with God. If all you did was did like this, God knows what you mean. If you're saying amen for the preacher don't need it. He don't hear you anyway because he's out in his own. You got to understand, when a preacher's preaching, he is not even here. I had people tell me, oh, forgive me, I got up and I did this, and my kid did this, and I didn't even hear. I don't even hear. Preachers go someplace that we can't even hear none of this. So if you're saying, man, loud enough for the preacher, that's wrong. Because preacher don't need him. We said, I'm saying amen for everybody else. That's wrong. I don't need it. I'm saying amen for myself and for the word of God. So your loud amens ain't the works of God. It's just you doing whatever reason you're doing what you're doing. Because, I mean, it's like, I don't know. Gone to meddling, as Sister Baker would say. You're gone from preaching to meddling. I'm trying to get us a balance. I'm trying to let us know there are real works of God. And when God's work comes out of you, everybody will know it.
Amen.
And it won't be because you're going down the street blowing the horn. You're just living your life. You're doing what you do. And God's work will manifest. I don't even tell them, like I told you the other day. My director, now I go in her office in a meeting. She's like, oh, she was cussing out there. It's like, oop. It's oop. Oop. And I just laugh because, you know, they're the world. I'm not trying to convert the world. But my atmosphere is such that it makes them uncomfortable.
Yes, right.
That's like these women. I never can understand this. These news ladies, they get on TV with these short dresses on. And they cross their legs and tug and pull. So it's, why don't you wear a longer dress? You won't have to worry about it. I see some of you younger sisters do that, coming here with these little things. And I'm like, y'all know better than that.
Yeah.
Don't come here looking like you're going to the... Wear some clothes. Respect your brothers.
Amen.
We are human, you know.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
He said, oh, now he's going to talk about clothes. I'm talking about everything.
Yeah.
I'm talking about you want to manifest God.
Come on.
And God ain't in here trying to catch somebody. And what you trying to show off for us to anyway? Yeah, we already got one. Save that for out there. Wear something that's decent. Wear something that you don't have to, brother children's called to cover your gates. Wear something that'll cover your gates. And see, I'm talking about works. And the works, and it's because you want to respect your brothers. And the brothers, don't come in here with your old muscle shirts on trying to show off. She's already got a man.
Right.
Wear something decent.
Right.
I mean, you're in the house of God. You're not in here picking people up.
No.
At least you shouldn't be.
Right.
Now, there is a time. But see, these works have just come out of you because it's in you. Not because I'm not going down no list. Now, I ain't talked about dresses in a long time. But I ain't changed my mind about it. I still say the spirits that go with wearing pants. If nothing else, a rebellion. But that's all right. You do what you do. And then some of the sisters come to church from work. Now, what kind of man would I be to say, now, you need to go home and change clothes before you get to... She is running to the house of God as fast as she can get here. Rather than taking another 45 minutes to go home and put on a dress, just come right from work and get right here.
Amen.
I get it. I'm not dogmatic. I'm saying, get here, get the word.
Amen.
But the balance is you want to be right. You want to please God. God is living in you. And there are works that will come out of you because God's there.
Amen.
Not because I ordered it or made you do it. Like I said, I didn't even ask Melanie about moving in. I knew I didn't, but I never said nothing to her. I just watched. And I thought, I hope she don't ever ask me. I thought she don't ask because that's a hard question. Do you realize when people are changing their locations and moving their lives, that's major. And I don't want it on my hands. Now, if God told me to tell her something, yeah, I'd do that in a minute, because then that's from God. But for me as a brother who wants a sister right next time, I'd be a little biased. So I was like, God, don't even let her ask me. And she never did. But when she wanted me to go look at a house, I on it. When she wanted me to do something, I was on it. But then, you know, but it was all on her. I didn't help her at all. Because it's what's on the inside of you. Her very works are manifesting what's going on inside of her. Amen. That's what I'm reading about. That's what I'm talking about. I didn't even know this is going in here. But your life will testify of who you are. Your life will testify if God is there. Your life, and you don't even have to go down and say, God's here, God's here, God's here. You know, some people try to act like they're spiritual. That's what I said. Don't come with no belated questions this evening trying to make us think you're smart or you read a lot. Go over to the book of Zerubbabel. I want to know about... I'm not even interested. And God help me to not be just short. Because I don't like spirits. Because that's all spirits. I don't like spirits. You come with an honest heart and you have an honest question, I'll answer you. You come acting like Satan on wheels, then I'm going to push you. And that's not a threat. It's a promise. Y'all know me. Y'all know I don't play church. I'll cut y'all testimony off. I'll sit you down. I'll stop you from singing. I'll change the key. You ain't going to mess up the atmosphere around here.
Amen.
You don't come up here. If you're going to play church, you're going to find somewhere else to play. You come in the presence of God when you come to this place.
Amen.
And just like Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't know what they were going to get their hands on. And I don't know what God will do when you come to this place. I've seen him stop songs. I've seen him get the whole church up and change their seats. I've seen him do all kinds. And it's not my planning. I'm telling y'all, I don't plan these things, so I'm not responsible. Some people try to catch me right after church when I finish preaching. They call me in the back room. I'm not responsible. They get unabridged answers. And it's like, there's no pity, no time for you to cry. It's just... And so I'd always say, just don't even ask me things after church, because it's just, I'm not responsible. I'm just a mailman. Sometimes people will say, they ask me something on the way out the door. And I'm like, you did? What did I say? And they tell me what I said, because I wouldn't have a clue. And that's why I try to call your names. I call names when you're going. I'm trying to get myself together. So I got to drive home. Don't want to be pulled over. But anyway,
amen.
Without faith, without works is dead. Now, let's just go. I want to go down here, verse 21, because now we're going to get into the works. Because, see, I've said a lot, but I ain't got to the works yet.
Right.
Verse 21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? Wait a minute, I thought he was the father of faith. He is. But wasn't he justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Wait a minute. That ain't the works I thought we were going to talk about. I ain't seen none of y'all offer up your son. So it couldn't be that. God was putting something out there for Abraham, and he believed it by faith, but he just didn't believe it. He acted on it. See, you can't just sit here and believe this thing. You got to act upon it. Abraham acted upon his faith.
Yes.
You must act upon your faith. If you believe this thing, if you really believe it, act upon it.
Yeah.
Step out on it. Abraham believed God, and he was going to have to slay his son.
Yeah.
He really believed God and was going to slay his son because he knew that God already promised him his son and thought, well, if God, if you're going to kill him, you're going to have to raise him up because you promised him to me. So Abraham built his life around his faith. You should build your life around your faith. You live where you live because of your faith. I know I do. Every time I go to Florida, I think, man, you build your life around faith, the thing you love. You believe God so much that you will take a job near where you live. And you take a house near where you go to church. All these things are manifestations of your faith. See, people don't realize, and they talk about works, but they don't even know what the works are. Abraham's work was killing his son. And Abraham was so into that, he didn't have a way out. He didn't have a backup plan. He took him up there, took the wood, took the knife, took the son, tied him up, put him on the altar, put the knife up, was going to kill him. And God said, hold on, Abraham. Whoa. That's too much faith. Come on. I got a ram in a bush for you. See, all God wants you to do is step out on faith, and he will make everything you need happen. God wanted a sacrifice, and Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, but God said, I got a ram in a bush for you. When you go through work and you're trying to be a Christian and you're just living your life and doing who you do and things come up and situations happen, God's got a ram in the bush for you.
Amen.
When you run into problems on your house payment and run into problems with your job or whatever the situations are, seems like things are running out, God's got a ram in the bush for you because you built your life around the faith that you believe him.
Amen.
Don't spend too much time worrying about the details. God knows what's going to happen. We get caught up in the details. Well, I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know what's going to do. That's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for,
right.
The evidence of things not seen.
Right.
It's no longer faith when it manifests.
Right.
So Abraham believed God.
Yes.
Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. His faith was made perfect through the works. Yes. So we believe God. We have faith in God. So our faith says we're going to get a body change. So that should make you look like and live for the body change. You're looking for it. You're expecting it. You really are expecting. I really am expecting a body change. I really am. You say, well, what if you die in the meantime? Well, I'll go down believing.
Yeah.
I'm still going to get a body change. That ain't going to change anything.
Right.
So faith has got to be backed up by something.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not even talking about good living yet. I'm saying God's going to do something with your faith. And it will manifest. And you will manifest. And you will do what you're supposed to do. Jesus over here, I'm just trying to jump. I'm got to get going. Jesus over here, in John chapter 10, Jesus said, if I do not the works of my Father, don't believe me. Jesus had to do works. If you don't do the works of your Father, I don't even have to believe you.
Right.
If I wasn't doing the works of my Father, You wouldn't have to believe me. A lot of people don't believe me because they don't know what the works are. You got to know the works to know whether to believe it or not. That's why I said, don't judge me. If you don't know how to judge, if you don't know what the works are, don't judge me, because you're going to misjudge me. And then you're going to get in trouble because you're going to touch the wrong thing.
Amen.
God's here. God's there. You don't touch the body. Touch my, not my anointed. Do my prophets. You don't touch me.
Amen.
You're in trouble if you do. And you know what's so funny about it? You touch me, and I'll say, Father, forgive him. Where does that come from? Why am I that way? What causes that? Oh, I've had people talk about me. I've had people break my church up. I've had people do all manner of evil to me. But I still love them. Happy when I see them. Not holding grudges. You say, how do you do that? I don't know. It's not I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. If it were me, I'd never speak to you again. If it were me, I'd never let you darken the door of my church again. I've had people leave here and dog us leave here and then come back years later wanting help. And I give it to them. You say, you're stupid. No. That's God's doing that. If Nate were doing it, you would get nothing. But Jesus was doing the will of his Father. They were talking about him. They dogged him. They eventually crucified him. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's the love of God. That's where you should be. That's where you should be even in your walk with each other. Someone don't even want to talk to your brother or sister sitting here in the church. Well, I don't like them, or they don't like me, or we don't have nothing in common. You don't have nothing in common. You got the word in common. That's the only thing any of us have in common. So anything any of us need is the word of God. Oh, I can do without fishing. I can do without hunting. I can do without painting. I can do without remodeling. But I can't do without the word.
Amen.
Neither can you. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe on the works. That ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. If you don't even like me, and there's a lot of people who don't. If you don't even like me and think I'm one way or the other or not serious or whatever your dislike is, the one thing you have to know is I've been with Jesus. You can't deny that. The very works prove that. If I do not the things of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I am the living, moving, manifested word of God for the hour, believe me for the very works sake. Because you know what? These works are going to get me to a body change. My last work here is going to be a body change. And if you don't even believe me that I'm going to get a change.
Amen.
The work will produce itself. The body change. See, that's the thing about it. With the work of God, the body change will produce itself. I don't have to make it happen. It's going to happen despite. I don't have to force you to be a Christian. You're going to be a Christian, which is Christ-like, which is word-like. You're going to be a Christian because of who you are. Not because I've legislated something to you. Now, John chapter 6, verse 28. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Now, some of y'all might be asking that this morning. Like I said, some people don't know how to judge works because they don't know what the works are. They think it's long dresses, cut hair, and clean up your life, and doing all this stuff on the outside. What do we do? You say, Nate, what am I supposed to do to work the works of God today? I've heard you. I've heard you talk. I heard you tell me about the works. And it's short in my life. No, I did let that door close in that lady's face. No, I didn't take that trash out and I just left it for my brother who I knew he would get it if I didn't. No, I didn't feed this person that I fell short. What do I need to do to work the works of God? That's the ask Jesus. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Just have faith. Believe on the person that God sends to you. Because he's going to be the Word made flesh. And when God sends you the Word made flesh, then that right there is going to give you all that you need that's going to produce everything that you'll ever produce. God doesn't have to do anything extra to that apple seed. Everything is in the seed. Every apple that it'll ever produce, every leaf that it'll ever produce, every branch that it'll ever produce is in that seed. And we get worried because we don't see something. Don't worry about it. It will manifest. It's going to manifest because it's in you to do so. You just believe on him who he has sent. You believe on the man of God. You believe on the word of God. And God will take care of the rest. Now I'm going to read this quote, because I thought this was pretty nice the way Brother Branham said it. This is in the seven church age. He was talking about the ages and over there in Revelations 3. Says, I know your love, service, faith, and patience. You will note that the love is placed between works and service, and that is the right place for it. Because without love, our works are not accepted before God, and neither is our service. Paul, speaking in Corinthians, says, without love, I am nothing. And whatever I do is without profit unless it's done in love. Now, you can see right here that these believers weren't in the Nicolaitan class that did works as a mean of salvation or is admired by men. They did their works out of love of God that was shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost. That love in the hearts was God's love for his own. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have one love, one for another. The pagans who saw the lives there in the early Christians said, behold, how they love each other. John said, everyone that loveth is born of God. I want to give a warning right here. Brother Branham said, it says concerning these last days, because of the abundant iniquity, the love of many will wax cold. In the Laodicean or last age, self-love and love for material things will take the place of true love of God. We need to guard against the power of sin in these last days. So many are getting so hard because they haven't realized the effect of the last day spirit. It is time to draw nigh to God and let him fill our lives with his love, or we will feel the coldness of the last day church and reject all the truth of God, which alone is able to help us. The hour that we're living in, people have lost love one for another. Concern one for another. And the Bible tells us, how can you love God who you have not seen? And you don't even love your brother that you have. If you have God living inside of you, you are going to be concerned for humanity. It breaks my heart when I see what's going on with humanity. You say, well, the Democrats, the Republicans, the this, the that, the that. It doesn't matter. They're all the world. My concern is for the world. When they're up there shooting at the people down in the crowds on the 4th of July, they weren't finding out who was Democrat, Republican, who was rich or poor. They just randomly shooting because the love is gone in this world. No concern for the brothers. No concern for the sisters. Brother Branham said it'd get to a point that we'll long for the time that we can get together in the house of God. And it looked like it was a long time between Wednesdays and Sundays. And glad to see each other. Love one another. We should have that in the body. That's some people are coming here from around the world. They look at this place and say, y'all have so much love for one another. They can feel it. They know it's there. They can see the manifestation right amongst us. I heard Brother Lockett say a while back, he said, I think y'all starting to love one another more. I said to myself, I think Brother Lockett starting to love us more. We love one another. We want to be together. We want to come to church. This isn't a chore. This is the best part of my week. Galatians chapter 3. Read this and move on. Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 10. No, starting at verse 1. O foolish Galatians! Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whom I, Jesus Christ, had been evidently set for, crucified amongst you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? There's a difference between the works of the law and the works of God. And that's where people get confused. They think, okay, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. You don't have to do anything. If you get God in you, His works will come out of you. Amen. The reason people don't have the works of God in them is because He's not in them. They may have the works of the law, and there's a lot of people who have the works of the law. They live a whole lot better than you. Their life is clean. Their parents' life is clean. They've been going to church all their lives. They got a bunch of laws, but people don't know there's a difference between the law of the land and the law of this world and the law of God. Amen. The works of God are totally different than the works of the law. Right. People are trying to get saved by the works of the law. You cannot be saved by the works of the law. Amen. And these old Galatians got mixed up, just like the message people get mixed up. Just like the church world get mixed up, just like we get mixed up and try to put laws in there and try to produce some kind of law and think that's going to be something that God wants. I'm not trying to bring you to a bunch of rules and regulations and laws. You be who you are. Amen. Let God lead you. And if what's leading you is not God, it'll lead you away from the Word.
Amen.
If what's in you is God, it's going to lead you to the Word. And you're going to become more and more like the Word. The more you hear the Word, the more you're going to become more like the Word. You're going to start being concerned about other people. You're going to be concerned about your neighbor. You're going to be concerned about the church. You're going to be concerned about your family. You're going to be concerned. Then you start thinking about what kind of example I am. See, that's where the examples come in. Not by the works of the law. You are concerned because you have a love for the truth. And then you start saying, let me make some decisions that's going to make somebody else see God in me.
Right.
Amen. That's how it works. That's not the works of the law. The works of the law is like, you better keep that. You better keep this. You better do this. You better do that. And they may have the works and make them look like they're a Christian, but they're stiff and they don't know how God really moves, and they're trying to manhandle their way through this thing to heaven, and they're not going. But there are a group of people who, when they hear the word of God, they believe it by faith, and the works of God come out of them no matter what they think. It comes out of them automatically. And here the Galatians were trying to manufacture something, and then the scripture says, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? It says, this only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, and now you're made that begin in the spirit, and are you made perfect in the flesh? See, that's what people try to do. They try to put law on you and try to make you perfect in the flesh. You will never in this side be perfect in the flesh. I don't care how much a law-abiding citizen you are. It's impossible for you to be perfect in the flesh in this side. And the Galatians were good churchgoers. They were good Bible readers. They were good livers. They were doing so much good work that they forgot they were saved by grace. People come to church and they do so good they forget they're saved by grace. It's by grace are you saved and not of your works. Those are the works of the laws. See, the works of the laws are different than the works that I'm talking about. But people are in and out of this message get that mixed up. They mix the works of the flesh with the works of God. And they don't know how to rightly divide it, so they don't try to cram it all together. If you serve God, you love God, these are the works you're going to do. You don't know what works God's going to have me do.
Amen.
You're going to do this. You're going to do that. We're all going to stop this. We're all going to start that. We're all going to carry our Bibles. I want it on the right arm like this. We're all going to do this together. We're going to be one big happy family. We're going to. You can't legislate the love of God. Neither can you tell me how God's going to use me. And if you try to judge it and you judge me wrong, it's going to be on your hands. Judge me for the very work's sake. What am I doing? Am I sleeping in today? It's Sunday morning. I'm in the house of God. What else do you expect of me? I have a love for the brethren. What else do you expect from me? These are the works of God. Are you so foolish, message people? Have you begun in the spirit and are now made perfect in the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? Oh, they sacrifice. People sacrifice all the time, but they do it in vain. Jesus told them, in vain do they worship me. Have you suffered in vain? If it be yet in vain. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles amongst you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Then he goes back to Abraham. Abraham was a faithful servant of God. He believed God and it was counted unto him as righteousness. If you believe God, it's counted unto you as righteousness.
Amen.
And the works that you do are going to be works fulfilling the word of God.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. It's not about trying to build something down here or trying to get a whole bunch of clean people in a house together and call it a church. It's about you being the word of God, walking around the earth, fulfilling what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
People have the hardest time getting that straight. Won't read it, but Brother Branham said, this you don't have to buy. Oh, Lord, help us. Jesus, I'm going to jump real quick. I got to get this, and I'm going to close. This turned me on when I left this. Revelations chapter 3. We need to know how to judge the works of God. Because we judge it by the wrong stuff. We judge it by how we dress. We judge it by how we live. I think, I'm looking around, I think I'm the only one to even wear a suit on Sunday these days. Look around you. We judge by that. We judge by where we sit in the church. We judge by what we say. We judge by how we sing. We judge by all the things, but we need to judge the way God judges. And God's been judging the whole, he's been judging works all the way through. Do you know God judged works all seven ages? He's never went without judging works. But he needs to let us know, and I got thrilled about this because I thought, we need to know how to judge the way God judges. And if we can find out the way God judges works, then we'll know the works that he's looking for. And we'll know the works that he's not looking for. Revelations chapter 3. Let's jump down to our age. Because I can go through every age. And God judged every age. And it shows you what he was looking at. I want to know what God's looking at now. Verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. What works? I thought God didn't care about works. I thought God didn't see works. All he looked at was your faith and your revelation. All he saw, no, you have works that he's looking at. People got off this thing and got in a ditch over here on grace. But then you got people over here in the ditch over here on works.
Yeah.
They're trying to judge you by the works of the law.
Uh-huh.
And these people don't care about works at all. But the bride knows there are good works.
Yeah.
And are produced by God. And she will have them.
Yeah.
She will care. She will love. She will take care of. She will be concerned. She will do. So let's just look and see how God, if I'm going to judge things, I should probably judge it the way God does it, right? Okay. I know thy works, that there are neither cold nor hot. He's looking at the church temperature. He's trying to see how turned on you are to be here. Is this just an Easter Christmas place for you? Baby dedication and funeral home? If that's all this is for you, turn the internet off. Don't get on there and listen to the services. If that's all it is to you, then don't even worry about it. Don't be cold. God wants you hot. And hot if somebody's burning. Hot if somebody comes prepared. Somebody come to church wanting it, waiting for God, looking for God, want to be a part of God. Somebody that's hot. Oh, I'd rather have a hot church than a cold church.
Yes,
have you ever gone in a cold church? Go in there. Everybody goes in all meek and humble. Everybody takes their seat. Nobody greets nobody. Nobody says nothing. Everybody looks down. They read the Bible or whatever, and they're just... Then the church service starts, the music starts, and the organ starts, and the funeral march starts. Then the preacher gets up and they do the obituary. Then they sing another song and go home. Cold. Dead. Nobody gets help. Nobody walks out better. Everybody walks out just as confused as they were when they got there. God don't want you cold. And neither does he want you so hot that you can't hear the word. Some people get so enthused with being shouting and running the aisles that they don't have time to hear what God has to say. Some churches, all they do is sing and shout. Preacher don't even have, they'll sing and shout for 2 hours, and the preacher gets up for 10 minutes. God don't want you that hot. I don't want you that hot. I want you hot. I want you enthused. I want you to be a part of this thing, but as a body. We do this thing as a body. So God's judging your heat. So then thou art lukewarm and not neither cold nor hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth. God does not want a lukewarm Christian. What's a lukewarm Christian? Somebody who comes to church, know enough about God to know he exists, but don't know enough about God to want to live for him. No works at all, Brother Don. Because thou sayest I'm rich. This is our age now. He's judging these things. Now, we want to talk about the works. Now we're saying, listen, we're looking at how God judges. If you judge my works the way God judges the works, then I'm okay with you. If you use the judgment that he's using right here, I'm okay with you. Because thou sayest that you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. God is judging their works. Those are the works we should be looking at. We spend too much time on the other works, the works of the flesh, and God standing here saying, hey, you're naked, you're blind, you don't have revelation, you don't know what hour you're living in, you don't know who you are. You judge by that. That's the way God judges. Those are the works that we should be judging by. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried by fire. Go through something. Get something pure, something that's had all the dross beat out of it. Go to a believer that's been through some trials. Oh, I've been places where I've seen believers have been through trials and troubles, and they've gone here and gone there and been through something, and they've got a testimony. That's the ones I want to hear from. I don't want you to get up and say something if you don't know nothing. I don't want you to get up and say something you ain't been through nothing. Oh, you go through a surgery, then you got something to say. Oh, you go through a problem, you got something to say. You go through a divorce, you got something to say. You get your kids to spit in your face, you got something to say. You get churches close the doors and turn their back on you, you got something to say. Tried by fire, and you're still here. That's the point, is that you've been tried. You've been burnt. You've been beat. You got all the dross out of you, and you're still here. You're still coming. Still have a praise. Judge that, why don't you? Judge those works. That thou mayest be rich. I don't care how poor you are here today. You're rich. He said, but I don't have all the things that I want. You're rich. People want all the things that you have. If they could only get what you have. He said, I don't have a lot of this. I don't have a lot of that. I'm backwards here. I'm backwards there. I can't do this. I can't do that. But that's all right. People would long to get what you have. They long to look into these things, Don. That thou may be clothed. We are not naked. We're clothed. Our works are that we are clothed with the Word of God. What are you going to say about that? I don't care how much they didn't like Brother Childers. They couldn't say that man wasn't clothed with the Word of God. They'd have to grit their teeth. They didn't like him. But they had to say that man loved the Word of God. He was clothed in Word. And this church, as much as we don't fit in with other churches, this church is clothed in the Word of God. That's why it draws people. They're like, man, those people, they get up here in the pulpit, and some of these preachers feel things that they ain't felt in years. Like, whoa, what's going on out there? You got a group of people, you're talking to their clothes. Oh my God. They know what it is. They know how to pull the Word out of you.
Oh, yeah.
They're clothed that the shame of thy nakedness need not appear. We're not naked here. We're fully clothed. We're clothed with the glory of God. That's what Adam and Eve were clothed in. You say, well, they had clothes on. No, they didn't. They were clothed in his glory. And we are clothed in his glory. You say, well, I don't know a lot. You don't have to know a lot. You're clothed in his word. And that right there, if somebody were to really judge the works, they'd have to judge by that. And thy eyes, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve. That's us. We've been anointed. The very thing that we have had preached to us has anointed our eyes. We see. We see. We're like we're like the cherubim. We see what was, what is, what is to come. Three sets of eyes. Two behind, two before. We can see everything. Our eyes are wide open. And as many as I love, I rebuke. There's the works. You can accept rebuke. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. God, forgive me. I'll change. I'll turn around. I'll repent. As Brother Lockett said, repent. We forgot that word, repent. I turn around. When I do something wrong, I turn around. God, forgive me. You do it the next day. You do it again. You say, oh, I messed up, Lord. I did it again. Forgive me. We die daily.
Amen.
We repent all the time.
Yeah.
But the works that we produce are the works of the word of the hour.
Right. Amen.
These are the things that God is looking at for works.
Amen.
I didn't see anything about hair there. I know that part of it. I didn't see anything about pants there. And I know that part of it. I didn't see anything about name it, name it, name it, name it, name it. If you're going to judge my works, judge them by that right there.
Amen.
Because what you'll find out, and I got it bulleted here, because I thought I want to make sure that I get it. The bride will be hot. We will buy gold tried by fire. The bride is not naked. We are anointed and can see. We have been rebuked and repented. And the bride has opened the door.
Amen.
That's us. If you want to actually look for the works that the bride produces, there it is. And if you go by that, you'll look at this church and say, well, y'all doing all of these things.
That's right.
Well, that's because you know how to judge us. If you don't know how to judge us, you're going to have all kind of issues. This, that, this. Because you know what? It's a many-member body, and we all had troubles and trials and things we go through, and you can pick us to pieces if you wanted to. But if you're going to judge the works of God, judge it by the Bible. Don't judge them by your top 10 list. Because if you try to judge them by your top 10 list, you're going to miss it. And you're going to try to play the shell game with me, and you're going to try to pick out what part of me is God and what part of me is not. And I guarantee you, you won't get it right. Faith produces works. My faith has produced every bit of that in the bride.
Amen.
I am the living word of God. And if you really want to see God's work and you want to see how it produces, look at what the bride is doing with the word.
Amen.
There's some, according to Matthew 7, verse 22 and 23, that won't believe the works of God. And he said in Matthew 7:22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. Those are not the works that we're reading. Those are not the works that the bride's doing. Those are the works that they're trying to do by the world's order. And they do those things and still go to hell. And they did good works, wonderful works, a lot of good things. But because they did not have faith in the word of God, it didn't have an effect on them. And they get to that throne judgment, they'll say, Lord, didn't we do this thing? Those weren't the works I was looking for. I just read to you in Revelations, ladies in church age, what he was looking for. The bride saying, check, 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 I'm doing all those. Nobody else can do that. Nobody else can say that.
Right.
The bride is the only one that's really producing the works of God.
Amen.
And we're doing it without even trying.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Amen.
We're doing it and not even forcing ourselves. Now, Brother Branham said, now, works will never take the place of faith in God for our salvation. But works will show forth our faith already placed in Him. Good works won't save you, but they will come forth out of a saved life as fruit unto God, fruit unto the Lord. I believe in good works. Even if a man's not saved, he ought to do good works and do his best he can. What is horrible in the sight of God is for men to do evil works and then say that they're doing the will of the Lord. That is what the bishops and popes and hierarchy of Rome were doing. They were killing, maiming, and doing all manner of evil in the name of the Lord. They lived out lives exactly opposite to what the word teaches. In that evil day, those true believers shone like a light in the dark place
as they continually did good, for they returned cursing with blessing, and they did truth and honor, and they did the truth to honor God, even though many died for it. See, we do the works because of who we are. I always wonder why I can love people, and yet they can just stab you in the back, walk away from you, and never see you again. I think, but I really did love you. It was an agape love. It wasn't based on their works or anybody else's. But somewhere along the line, the church world had gotten the works of the flesh in the world mixed in with the works of the believer. And it's two different things. I believe in producing good works, just like Brother Branham said. I believe that if you're not even a Christian, you should produce good works. I believe you should be a good person. But when it comes to doing the works of God, the things that you're going to be judged by, if you're going to be judged, is going to be the things that are listed in Revelation chapter 3 against the age that you're living in. That's what God's looking at. Those are the things that God's looking at. He's going to judge them because of what they didn't do with the word. When you have the word presented to you and you turn it down, then it's on your hands. What are you going to do with this Jesus called Christ? Is where Brother Branham preached at. Faith produces works. That is the balance. So don't come and say, well, I'm not doing it. That's why Brother Childers will get nervous when people say, well, I don't have nothing to do with it. It's all God. It's all God. No, it is all God. But God's waiting for you to manifest it. And as you manifest it, only way is God is if it matches the word of God. Don't tell me everything you do is God, because it's not. Some of it's your lust. Some of it's just your desire. Some of it's just things you like. You know, don't blame God for it because you like it. I mean, Doug loves to fish. I like to fish. Doug loves to fish. But Doug doesn't have any more God than me because he loves fishing. I like it. Some people don't like it at all. But that's not what we judge it by. Doug loves the word. It's a very manifested word of his life. And you can see it in his life. It's not hard to see. It's not hard when you're a child of God to produce the works. I read you those bullet points of everything God looks at in this age, and we're checking every one of those boxes. The bride has faith, and that faith produces a life. See, we call it the works, but it's a life. It's a life. And when God finishes with us, we will take this same love that we have in us now and put it in a glorified body. And then you don't even have to worry about your list. But until then, do your best. Be a Christian. Come to church. Do the right thing. Don't lean on grace. I have the quote up here. Brother Branham said, grace is what God did for you. Works is what you do for him. That's the way it's balanced. We do these things. Sometimes it doesn't feel good to do the things that we need to do, but it's for a greater cause. God loves us. He's given us faith. He's given us revelation. We produce the works that God is looking for because of who we are, not because we're trying to get something or trying to be something. It's just who we are. We're ordained to good works. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. And thank you for doing the works that you do in us. I ask you to just be with this congregation. Help us in our lives to be balanced, Lord. There are so many people going off in the ditches to the left and to the right. But Lord, this is the true balance. Grace is what you did for us. And works is what we do for you, but not for salvation. But because we love you and we want to be about your business. That's why we're here. That's why we love. And that's why we do. Thank you for this congregation. They love you, Lord. They believe your word. And they stand right on it.
and ask you to just continue to help us to walk this narrow walk. It's getting narrower by the day. I see them fall off to the left, to the right, all along. But Lord, this bride, she's taking this one day at a time, taking it one step at a time, knowing that you've got it all in your control. Thank you for all you've done. Be with us, Lord, and help us to continue to press towards the mark, regardless of what happens to the left and right, knowing that, Lord, you have everything in your hand and under control. Thank you for everything. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Come on, musicians. Don't forget tonight, 7 o'clock. And we'll see what the Lord has to do. Good to have our Sunday night services back.
Amen.
We haven't had them for a while. Did that make any sense to anybody but me? All right, that's like, y'all a little rough today. It's all right. Just doing.
Can we sing "I'll Live for Him Who Died for Me"? I can't find it in the book. Do you know that one?
I don't know that one.
Okay.
Well, why don't you sing it?
I don't know if I know all the words.
It's like, I don't know if I know that song. You found a song I don't think I know.
Oh, you'll probably remember when I start.
I'll live for him who died for me. Greater than our life will be.
I'll have to get the words and come back.
Okay, come back with that. Yeah, I don't know that one. You found one.
Yes, that was my favorite.
Yeah. Amen. Don't forget, 7 o'clock tonight. Shine on me. I don't know where it is. Let the light of the lighthouse shine on me. I don't know where it is. That just came to my mind. I'm looking forward to tonight. And let's see what God has in store for us. Good to have you all out. Pray for Jeremiah and them as they'll be on their way back home. And I pray that they had a good service. Amen. Shine on me, let it shine.